morning, good evening, and welcome Brother Theo and your group of spiritual friends. And good evening, brothers and sisters in the Dharma, those that are from NBC in England. It's heartening to see all of us here again after quite a lapse of time since before the Chinese New Year. And tonight the Dharma sharing is that, as we all understand, to learn to understand and appreciate the Buddha's teaching, we need not only to learn in theory the Dharma, but also very essential in meditation practice to be able to appreciate and realize what the Buddha was trying to teach us. Then meditation is necessary, and therefore we would, for those who are inclined in meditation practice, they would go for a regular meditation retreat. But to do that, we must also understand the purpose why we go for retreat. And it is here that Brother Theo tonight so kindly come down to share with us to understand the purpose of meditation retreat. And as we participate in this meditation retreat, then we will have a more correct or right focus of our effort and attention. So before Brother Theo starts off with the talk, as usual, I'll let him guide us in taking the precepts, observing the precepts in the going for a future.
Okay. You compose your mind, yeah? Develop the faith, sadha, virya, through understanding clearly who the Buddha is and how special his teaching is. So with the faith, sadha, virya, you pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Then after that, we will commence the puja. We will start the puja by chanting the salutation to the Buddha. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Pānāti pātā viramani sikkhā padāṃ samādhiyāmi. Ādīnā dānā viramani sikkhā padāṃ samādhiyāmi. Kāmesu micchācārā viramani sikkhā padāṃ samādhiyāmi. Musāvādā viramani sikkhā padāṃ samādhiyāmi. Sūrā mērayā majjhāpamādathāna viramani sikkhā padāṃ samādhiyāmi. Sādhu, sādhu, sādhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to the Buddha. Huh? Okay, just relax yourself, huh? Maintain some form of attention. Huh? So a very good evening to all, huh? Brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. Once again, we meet. This particular topic that actually you all chosen through Brother Gan, he gave me the whole year's topic. Then he wanted to incorporate some form of meditation. So I told him, it is very time if you do that. It's either you have the, if you want to keep the cake, you cannot eat it. If you want to have the cake and eat it, you cannot keep the cake. Because meditation, if it's not with sufficient time, is not effective. And if you cannot develop the understanding, just like what Brother Tay tried to explain just now to you all, the whole of meditation is about understanding what you do. If you don't have the understanding, it's very difficult for you to develop the progress. You cannot develop something and hope to excel in it if you don't even understand what is it that you're trying to develop. You only have one word, meditation. And I can tell you that word meditation is a very loose word. Anything under the sun is meditation, I tell you. Different people will describe it differently. So like I explained before, during the early days, I think I gave one of the talk. Understanding the meditation as taught by the Buddha. That's why it's very discreet and very different. The meditation that the Buddha teach and normal meditation, they are very different. When we talk about meditation, we actually define meditation through some form of what they call words that we use. The reason why I say that word meditation is a very loose word is because anything that is directly or indirectly related to the mind is called meditation. If you sleep, they call sleeping meditation. If you know how to do it, if you call sleeping meditation. Then if you use it to develop loving kindness, then they call it loving kindness meditation. Like metta. Then if you incorporate yoga, then they call it yoga meditation. Then you incorporate qigong, they call it qigong meditation. So meditation is a very, very loose word. Whatever mental training can be described as meditation. But what we are interested here is, like Brahate said, is the meditation as taught by the Buddha. Because that can lead to enlightenment in the here and the now. That can lead to liberation of mind, development of wisdom that can free your mind. So this is our focus. So that's why tonight, this topic, understanding the purpose of attending meditation retreat, is very relevant. Personally, for me, if I don't understand, I will never do. I had this character which since young, even when I study same, if I cannot understand, I will not go into the detailed study of it. I must have an overall picture of what this thing is. Then only I can start. Even when I came out to work, it's the same. If my superior gave me a project, I need to have some background information about this project. What is it intend for the usage and all those things? Then what does this project covers? Not until I have a clear picture, I don't want to start, because there is no point. As an engineer, you also have to have that understanding, because the same type of project under different condition, different environment, different soil condition can actually result in very different type of design. So you cannot say, oh, design a double story house, and then you go and start out your design. You have to find out where is it located, what type of foundation are you looking at, and all those things. That's why you have to understand the background information and the overall. So if you don't have that overall understanding of what is the meditation as taught by the Buddha, if you simply go and do, first thing first is you become gullible, then you can get yourself in trouble, because you didn't check the condition behind all those things. So in a similar way, if you don't understand the purpose why you attend retreat, then you can end up having the same problem. Then most people who goes for retreat become gullible, because they don't really understand why they go for retreat. And I can tell you from experience, not my own experience, it's from what I see of other people. They have this idea that if they go for retreat, they can go like more or less full time. They can be very serious, and it's very conducive for them to develop the meditation, and they will progress. But they don't want to find out what is meditation. So they go to retreat, they just follow the program, follow the instruction, then they just do. Of course, they also have their purpose. When you go for retreat, maybe I ask you the question, what is your purpose? Don't tell me you go there with the purpose to become enlightened. That one everybody know. What is your actually understanding? Why you go for retreat? Anybody can try to help answer. Then we can have a clearer understanding of what this topic is. Anybody? Give it a try, don't worry. No right, no wrong. Based on your views and opinion and your understanding, why do you go for retreat? Anybody wanna? Yeah, pass the mic, Pass the mic. Wireless mic.
To understand ourselves more.
Okay, that can be one of the purpose. Anybody else? Apart from like what Sister Kwan said, to understand yourself more. Means you want to develop self-knowledge. Then what else? What else? You can't answer that question, means most of you don't have much idea why you go for retreat. Pass the mic. Yes, Susan, yes.
Yeah. To look within.
Oh, okay. Yeah. That is meditation, But the... Okay, it's okay. What about the established purpose before you even go into the meditation? What is it that you understand? You go to retreat, meditation retreat, because of certain important reason, very essential reason. You can try, yes.
Better understanding of the Dharma.
Good. Teaching. This is one of the important ones. Because you go to retreat because of the thing. Thank you. Because you have more time. Even the teacher or the retreat, meditation teacher who conducts the retreat, he has more time. So he can actually plan the retreat for you to understand the teaching better. And if he's a really good meditation teacher, he will teach you to understand what is meditation so that you know how to do it properly with understanding. So to me, that is a very important purpose. Unless you already know how to meditate, you already understood what the meditation is, then you want retreat condition which is more conducive for you to develop the training of the mind. Then like what you all say, to understand yourself, to see within. That one you can do in a retreat because the retreat conditions are more favorable, more appropriate. The setting are more conducive. You agree, right? Conducive because everybody keeps precept on the sana. At least 5, then some 8. And most people will ask you to keep 8. Then the environment and the setting there is very, very conducive because it's meant to be a retreat place. So they will try to make sure that everything is in accordance. Then you go to a certain type of, especially Theravada type of setting, they will make sure there is no disturbance. But to them, actually, they short of telling you, they demand absolute silence, not the slightest disturbance or sound. Then they actually become too sensitive. They can't even tolerate the slightest noise or sound. So these are the conducive environment and setting that you will go into. Of course, it will make you meditate better. It will allow you to settle down better. And it will allow your mind to be in a better situation where it can really be trained. Under such condition, your senses are not actually active because all of your senses under this type of setting, it become like very easy to train. That's why I call it a conditioned state, an environment where you have very little disturbance. You are not tested at all. And because everything is so beautiful, that's why the environment gives rise to the conducive environment or setting for you to have the ability to meditate. So your mind can easily settle down into that quiet setting, into that very conducive place. Then because everybody keeps their precept, everybody hold on to their noble silence, then there is a lot of what they call daily routine that you just repeat. Sitting, walking, sitting. And mainly they ask you to do this too. Then sitting, they ask you to note certain object of meditation and all those things. And if you don't understand the purpose of you going there, then you become gullible, understand? You just follow instruction, thinking that when you follow instruction, you are meditating. So the first very important purpose of retreat is, like what Xiang said, to understand the teaching, to understand clearly what meditation is, so that you can really move into it. Otherwise, you can become gullible. And the moment you understand, then meditation become different. You can do it with proper understanding, and you can do it at your own pace. You don't have to rush. But it's very difficult to get somebody who can explain the whole thing to you clearly, so that you are very clear about what this whole training of the mind and meditation is all about. So like I told Bergan, this topic you want to understand is a very, very deep topic. Then you have to spend a lot of time. But I will summarize it, so that you understand clearly. The sole purpose of going to for retreat is like you go to a gym, understand? It's more conducive for you to build up your training or whatever training you want to do. Where the gym is a very conducive environment with everything that you need to exercise and train yourself, even muscle training, stretching. They call it what? Jogging, treadmill. Then they got the various type of exercise machine. It's just like the gym, which is very well equipped, very conducive for you to develop your exercise. Meditation retreat is also meant to be more conducive for you to train your mind. So the sole purpose initially is to go there and develop the understanding of what the teaching is all about and what meditation is all about. Then after that, you zero in. You zero in on how to develop that training. Yeah. So last night I already explained. If they have the understanding, they will go back to the original teachings of the Buddha. So the Buddha, actually under Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23, and verse 183, together with the instruction that he gave to the monk before he passed away, the parinibbana. He said, apamadena sampadeta. The English translation is, he said, monk, strive on with heedfulness. Do not be heedless. So from here you start, anasana. So the key to understanding the Buddha's teaching and meditation is heedfulness, nothing else. So if you understand heedfulness is so important, let's say the meditation master or teacher can explain to you very clearly because of this Dhammapada verse 21. The Buddha make it very clear, is it? Heedfulness is the path to the deathless, whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedful never die, means you have eternal life. Whereas the heedless are as if dead spiritually, you are like dead. You may be conscious of life, existing through life, but you never live. You don't have a spiritual life. So that's why it is very dangerous to be heedless. That's why before the Buddha's parinibbana, he still reminded the monk, strive on, is it? With heedfulness. Not only develop heedfulness, you must strive on with heedfulness. Otherwise, spiritually, you are as if dead. So given this understanding, let's say you develop this understanding in the retreat, then how do you start? To me, a retreat is a place where you train your mind, if you still need to train. Understand? Then if they have explained to you also the two sets of mental factors, the two opposite sets of mental factors. The first set is the five mental hindrance that hinders your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner calm. The second set is the five spiritual faculties. So the Buddha make it very clear. You have to understand, why are you not peaceful? How come your mind cannot develop this meditative mind? How come it has something that hinders you from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness? And then when you understand there is a five hindrance, then you ask yourself, if the hindrance are still there, what are the cause behind? When I understand the cause, I will know how to deal with it. And the Buddha said the cause is very simple. You lack the opposite five spiritual faculties. That's why you have to train your mind to develop this spiritual faculty. You don't have to fight the hindrance. You don't have to control, suppress, or do away with the hindrance. If you do that, if you resist through your thought, the defilement will be stronger because thought is involved. And you don't understand the underlying reason why the hindrance are there. They are there because you lack the five spiritual faculty. So if you don't tackle the source, which is the development of the five spiritual faculties of Sadha, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya, you become gullible. Understand? It's just like the medical profession, they tell you what? You, let's say, have certain type of disease due to certain organ weakness, understand not? Chinese didn't say, well, no, they trace, oh, your this organ is weak, your kidney is weak, that's why you have this problem, and all say. But Western doctor, different, no? You got headache, he give you Panadol, he only cure the symptom, understand not? Then he give you temporary relief, but it doesn't heal the source, understand not? It doesn't heal the organ, understand not? That is responsible for all this. So if you meditate without this understanding, it's the same. You didn't even know that the five spiritual faculties, which is the opposite five, once you have, the hindrance will go. Then instead of paying attention to the five spiritual faculties, that's why you will start to understand the significance of puja, the importance of daily contemplation to develop the spiritual faculty, and the training of the mind to develop all the related sati, samadhi, leading to panya. So a lot of people fail to understand this. Then I was told, there was one type of very famous meditation, internationally recognized and renowned. They even tell the meditator, you don't have to pay respect to image, because these are rite and ritual. You just meditate, vipassana, vipassana. They don't believe in puja. They don't believe in all those things. It ends up like that. Then the teaching of Buddha Nusati, Dhamma Nusati, Sangha Nusati, you're supposed to contemplate on the nine great virtues of the Buddha. You're supposed to reflect and contemplate on all these things. But he said, no, need. These are rite and ritual. So if you have this type of conflicting instruction, then those people going for this type of retreat is normally a 10-day retreat, very intensive. Then they can be very, very confused and gullible. I got one student. He came to my class 3 years ago. For the first 1 year, he keep on listening. He cannot reconcile. Then later on, after he attend the first retreat, which was about, I think, 2 years ago. 2 years ago. You know what he told me? He knew already something wrong. After 15 years in that type of meditation, very intensive, he even end up serving as committee member, everything. He realized, like what I say, after retreat come out, nothing has changed. The defilement, everything is still there, not rooted out. He became very calm, very peaceful during the retreat. Fantastic meditation mind state. But end of the day, when it come back to daily life, he is hardly mindful. He cannot deal with life. He cannot understand what sati is. Then he came and see me at the tail end of the retreat. He said, Brother, what must I do? I said, what you mean, what must you do? You already understood what the teaching is. Then just cultivate and develop. You know what he told me? That was the only time he revealed to me. He shared with me what happened. He said, for the past 15 years, he has been doing that type of meditation. They don't believe in puja. They don't believe in all this paying respect and all those things, developing the spiritual faculty. And he said, what I teach and what I share is so different. Like almost everything is the other way around. Because what I teach is just relax, silent, don't do anything. That's like a lot of doing, nothing, and all sorts of funny things. Then whatever that I share with him, he realized is the total opposite of what he has been told and learned. So that's why he got a lot of problems. Then I even told him that there is such thing as karmic obstruction. Why you end up doing this type of meditation? You're in the path like this life. You go and promote this type of meditation, thinking that this is real meditation. Then end up, people cannot progress, people get stuck. So in future when you come, because you teach people this type of meditation and promote, you will end up having contact with this type of teacher and this type of meditation. That's how law of karma, you reap what you sow. So I told him, if you have this, you have to ask for forgiveness. That's why he went and do it, luckily. Then determined to change, to develop the actual understanding. Then later on, after he did that for a few months, he really connect and he breakthrough. And now he's so different, he's full of joy. He said, like, so easy to understand the teaching now. Last time he cannot understand what I say, completely, no way. Then now he tell me what, no? Recently, he said, Ratio, how come this type of meditation is so different, so fantastic? He said, like, now it's happening too fast, no? Like, he know, anytime, he can just become very different, no? Because that thing is happening too fast. And it can be throughout the day, in the daily life, for the last 3 months. Little or no thought, no. Hardly any thought, no. Then when he lie down to meditate, completely no thought, still, silent. And daily life also like that. He said he has been doing all sorts of the other type of meditation, which is thought-based. He came to realize there is no way in the daily life you can have this type of mind state, he said. This type of sati, this type of awareness. No way, is it? So, what I want to let you understand is, it is very important to get the right understanding before you go into it. Otherwise, you can get stuck for very long and debate for very long. Like I always emphasize, spend time on phase one of the Dhamma, Pariyatti, the learning of the teaching. Contemplate into it, develop clear understanding. Follow the advice of the Buddha, 5 daily contemplation, 3 turnings of the Four Noble. Just do all these things. Then you will develop the understanding. Then look at the Dhammapada words that the Buddha spoke. They are very important. These are the essential Dhamma, the truth. If you cannot understand all this, there is no way you can move. You must understand what is sati, what is heedfulness. Which I have defined earlier on, just to recollect, what is sati? First thing is, what is sati? What is sati? Most of you have the notes there. The Heart Sutta short notes. Those who don't have, you can collect. We have brought a few copies. Yeah, mindfulness is another word. So I want the definition. No. Confidence is faith, saddha. What is mindfulness? What is sati? Also, another way to put it, seeing things as they are. But what does that mean? Sati. Oh? Mindfulness. Just how somebody say, seeing things as they are, which is good. But do you understand? If you don't understand, then it's another series of words. Understand? Seeing things as they are. But be absolutely sure that you understand what sati is, what mindfulness is. Then you can do. Understand? If you don't even understand what it is, how to do? Like this one, seeing things as they are. Now I ask you to see, Reverend, see. See things as they are. Tell me how you see. Or the clock, seeing things as they are. Or everything that is within your senses, seeing consciousness. How do you see? Because this one refer to what? Direct seeing, understand? You know what is direct seeing? Of course, you tell me seeing things as they are is direct seeing. Means you see directly without the thought. Understand? You know what this word is or not? Mindfulness. You separate these two words. What is it? Mindfulness. But you never ask, full of what? If the mind is full of thought, is it mindfulness? Is it sati? So when they use this word, mind, in fullness, what does it mean? Full of what? Huh? No, no, no. If you got wisdom, you don't need to train already. Huh? Ah, full of awareness is a better word. Huh? Means fully aware. Understand? Aware means what? When you are aware means what? Not conscious, no. When you are conscious, your thought come out, no. When you are aware means what? Like the baby when born, The baby is aware of the environment, understand? That's how you can see the baby, like very cute, very innocent. But there is no, what? No thought, no perception, understand? That is what awareness is. Means awareness before the knowing, before the perception, understand? So when you have this understanding, then it's easy to develop. It's awareness before the knowing. Oh, sorry. Before the knowing. And how do you know? Knowing come from what? Knowing come from what? Very good. Perception. Your aggregate of mind or sanya, understand? Perception. That's why the aggregate of mind coming already. Before the knowing means before your mind come out. Before your mundane mind, thinking mind, conditioned arising mind come out. Understand? That's why awareness is just silent. Understand? It's just aware. That's why you see things as they are. No word, no concept. Understand? No conditioning from your views and opinion and the brain to tell you what is it. Just like the baby, just see things as they are. Pure perception without any memory involved. It's just aware. Can follow on? Yeah. So when you start to understand this clearly, then you can penetrate the teaching. Then you know how to develop mindfulness and awareness. It's very simple. Understand? It's just like in the retreat, I teach some of the yogi while eating. I say while eating, normally what you do, you think a lot, understand? You don't even know how your hand moves to your spoon, and because you have this liking for certain food, understand? Then your eye, seeing consciousness, you actually look at the food, then your thought going, this one is nice, I eat before. So all this movement you didn't really see because you are lost in thought, you are thinking. Then how your hand move and take, you're still thinking. Then even when you eat, you're still thinking. That's why you are not with the moment. You are not in sati. Your thought is very active. It is heedlessly thinking ahead. Then when you think, you have this intention to do certain things. Then the intention conditions your hand to move without your awareness. That's why in the retreat I told you all, if you want to cultivate real sati, you have to slow down the mind, not your action. Understand? Slow down your mind means what? Don't think so much. Understand? Why can't you, after you see the food, you know there is a food you want, then when your, let's say this is your spoon. This is your spoon. I show it to you. Then you know you want to take that food. So you aware. And aware means what? Body and mind as one. Means awareness and the hand as one. No thought. If you are just be with the movement, kaya no pasana, there is no thought. Then how your hand move? Take this spoon. Understand? There is no word on, just take. Then how you move to the food? You still see. Then how your hand scoop? Put it on your plate. Or put it on your bowl. Then how you take your chopstick and how you start to eat. You are fully aware because you are with the moment. Understand? All action, all movement in the present moment. But you all never live like that way. Understand? How your hand go there, how you do all those things, you also don't know. You could be busy thinking and talking. Understand? Then even while you sit, are you fully aware and attentive? how you move, how Guan just like she was like that. You also don't know. Then there are so many things arising and passing away simultaneously within the moment. You can only do one thing at a time. So when you are aware of certain thing, your mind and awareness is there, you cannot expect to be aware of other thing. Of course, you can have a general spacious awareness that can allow you to be aware, but it's not the specific phenomenal awareness. That's it's not so clear. All these are possible when you have developed sati and awareness. But when you have not developed, then you realize you think a lot. You are very heedless because the hindrance are there. So when you understand the hindrance are there, what you need to do is you have to polish up your spiritual faculty. So focus on that. Just do the puja, reflect and develop the spiritual faculty. Then later on when you meditate, it's very easy. When the spiritual faculty are there, meditation becomes very easy. Where the hindrance are all gone away. But when they are not stable, you are at a retreat, you got no choice. Then you need to think of skillful means to train your mind. That's why they give you method and technique. You must understand that methods and technique are only skillful means to train the mind. To actually center your mind. Because when you are aware of the meditation object, it cannot think, understand? It will not be lost in thought. Otherwise, it's heedless. It will be lost in thought. Then what they tell you is, every time it's lost in thought, you bring it back. Then you keep on training. Train until the mind listens to you. Until the awareness, the mindfulness, and the object of meditation become one. It's just like when you pay respect. Body and mind is one, without thought. That is sati. Don't try to note bowing, bowing, bowing. That is verbalization. Understand not? When there is verbalization, your mind is not quiet. You can never be in sati. You can only be in sati to see things as they are if you are silent, without thought. But when you are creating thought, means the mind is preoccupied with what your thought tells you. And when it's preoccupied with that, your whole of attention is not with your true mind. It's with that thinking, that emotion, the conditioning that is arising within that. That's why you become emotional. Sometimes you have fear, you have worry, you have anxiety. Then you are not aware of whatever that is going on. You think you are aware. That is the thought noting the emotion. Like is it I have anger? How you know? It's the thought that tell you. Because after that it arises, then only you realize you are angry. Or you can see somebody getting angry. It's the thought that tell you. But when you are aware of his anger, you feel there's no thought. You just feel. And you are very sensitive. You can know a lot of things when you are silent. So meditation is about understanding. So you go to retreat, the sole purpose is to develop understanding. Then after that, do the training. It's only when you understand, only you can do that. Correct? First thing is sati, the second thing is heedfulness. Whereas the Buddha says, without this you are as if dead. So you must understand what is heedfulness. So based on Dhammapada verse 23, you will know what heedfulness is. What is heedfulness? Last night we just went through, those who came to the class. What is it? To be heedful is what? You can't even remember this, then how are you going to train? I give you a hint in the note. Got two parts. First part is ever mindful. So are you in the retreat training your mind to be ever mindful? Without the spiritual faculty, it's very difficult, like Sister Suzanne knows. He tried to make it like sustain the so-called mindfulness. But he finds it is a very, very challenging job to actually sustain it. You are not there to sustain it, actually. You are there to develop understanding. The moment you understand that when you are silent without thought, you are already aware. So why you want to sustain? You only have to ask yourself, why are you not silent? How come you think a lot? What did the Buddha say? Huh? Why do you think a lot? How come the human being think a lot? The Buddha teach what? The law. Law of mind. What is law of mind? Huh? How does your mind function? It follows a certain law. Law of what? Huh? Citta niyama, correct. But what is that law which he teach? No, citta upasana is the meditation. There is this law. I give you a hint. Paticca-samuppada, very good. This is the dwelling, anasana, paticca-samuppada. The spelling, I'm not very sure, you check. This dwelling is how your mind functions, the Buddha said. What is the first link? Huh? Avijja, paccha, sankara. What is the meaning? What is sankara? Mental activity. Huh? Of course, some call it mental formation, karmic volition, everything. Whatever it is, everything that your mind can do is sankara. So the Buddha said, dependent on this, what is this? Avijja. Ignorant. Dependent on ignorant. Ignorant of what? Ignorant of the Four Noble Truths. That's why without understanding, without wisdom, ignorant will condition activity of mind. That's why you think a lot. Understand? When there is ignorant, means what? You don't understand. Is that clear? You don't understand what you do. One thing to know, one thing to understand, what you do? In the school, what the teacher tell you when you don't understand? Go back and think about it. That's why when you don't know, you go back and think about it. The Buddha is correct. He said, avijja paccaya sankhara. That's why you think a lot. You think too much. Understand? And when there is thinking, what happened? What happened when there is thinking? No, before that. Your brain and your mind is actually an organ, understand? Your mind is like any of the senses, understand? It's also an organ. When you think, means what? The mind make contact with that organ, understand? So upon contact, what happened? That's why avijja paccaya sankhara, sankhara paccaya. Like the physics experiment, remember? Upon contact, what happened? Huh? Let's say this is a light bulb. What happened when you put on the switch? This light bulb light up, isn't it? That's not. Your organs operate the same. Upon contact, you become conscious, understand not? Conscious of what you see, conscious of what you hear, smell, taste, tactile, feel, and think. Whereas if it's the mind becomes conscious of my object. Understand? Understand? That's why this is mental consciousness. Understand? Then what happens when you become conscious? You introduce thought, content of consciousness. Understand? But initially, it's like the Buddha said, in the seeing, it's only the seeing consciousness. No one to see yet. No labeling yet. No word coming yet. Then who see? The egoic mind see. The conditioning, the memory. Then he input the content. And what are the content of consciousness? Your feeling, your perception, your emotion, your mental activity, mental state. Everything goes in. So when you input this Vijnana, which is mental consciousness, together with its content, become Namarupang. This is the five aggregates are formed in mind. Mental, five mental aggregate of form and mind. This is the actual understanding of dependent origination. Not the one they tell you, the three lifetime on sana. You know what is a three lifetime on, is it? Yeah? The textbook always say, upon death, dependent on ignorance, it condition what? Karmic volition. They call this karmic volition, karma. Asana. Then rebirth consciousness, they say. Asana. Then this one, they call it the first aspect of the five aggregate of form and mind, the human being. Asana. This is the traditional way they explain in the textbook. But like I explained to you all, if it only happened once over three lifetimes, you study it for one. Why the Buddha want to teach you? It will be more useful if this one happened every moment, every instant in your life, isn't it? That's why they cannot understand and they cannot explain. They go for the three lifetime. But to them, this has to be rebirth consciousness. They didn't know the mind is an organ. When you think means you make contact. Then upon contact, the mind become conscious of the thinking. That's why the thought thing itself. There is nobody inside there to think. But you have to silence your mind to meditate, to see all this happening. Then you will understand all this. And I can tell you this one, no book right on. Yeah. So it's up to you whether you want to investigate yourself or not. You don't have to believe anybody. Yeah. And when you develop this style of understanding, you penetrate the Dhamma. You understand clearly what the Buddha meant. And you can have the direct seeing. Then after that, the whole thing move. Dependent on these five mental aggregates of form and mind, you must have sense basis, otherwise it cannot arise. That's why, nama rupang pachya salai atana. Then dependent on the sense basis, you have contact. Dependent on contact, you got feeling. Then feeling, condition, craving, because there is still no wisdom. Without yoniso manasikara, feeling can never remain as pure feeling. Unless you already have the wisdom, yoniso manasikara means wise attention at the moment of sense experience. So the whole of law of dependent origination will continue. Feeling not only condition, craving. Craving will condition grasping. Grasping will condition becoming. Then you are born into it. That's why it arises a whole mess of suffering. And this is how dependent origination comes about. This is how your mind functions. If you cannot even understand this, you cannot understand who are you, what are you. Like you say self-knowledge, you only say self-knowledge, but how to develop it. That's why you have to have this understanding. And this understanding can only come out through the silent mind that is in sati, that is doing the four foundation of mindfulness. That's why under the four foundation of mindfulness, the Buddha teach the four foundation, kaya nupassana, vedana, citta, then you have what they call dhamma nupassana. So under citta nupassana, you see all these things. Then you see the dhamma. Yeah. And all these are related to the teaching. So we have to come back to heedfulness. Ever mindful to do what? If you want to have this quality of mind, heedfulness, you must be ever mindful. This is the first aspect. After that, you must have the second part to complement. What is it? Ever mindful to do what? Cultivate. Noble Eightfold Path. This is actually precisely Dhammapada verse. Dhammapada. Dhammapada verse 23. What is verse 23? Dhammapada verse 23. What is it? All these Dhammapada verses you must contemplate, reflect until you really understand. No? You cannot even remember what they are. I tell you, it's very difficult for you to really, really understand the Buddha's teaching. What is Dhammapada verse 23? No, that one is 21. Okay, we go in stage. Verse 21. Now, we repeat. What is verse 21? I already spoken today so many times. Dhammapada verse 21 on heedfulness. What is it? Can we read together? Heedfulness is the path. Louder. Heedfulness is the path to what? To the deathless. Means you are heedful, you never die. But heedlessness is the path to the dead. No, dead. After that only, the second line. The heedful never die. Read loud. Whereas the heedless are as if dead. Clear or not? So without heedfulness, you are as if dead. Spiritually, you got no chance of enlightenment. So this Dhammapada verse is so important. You don't want to find out. You don't want to understand. You don't want to reflect. You don't want to contemplate. You don't even want to understand. Then how are you going to penetrate the Buddha's teaching? That's why he keep on telling the monk before he died, remember one thing, strive on with heedfulness and you are guaranteed enlightenment. And this is the most important Dhammapada verse and teaching that the Buddha actually taught the monk. And you all never want to pay attention because nobody touched on this. Or very few people mentioned but didn't understand and explain to you what these things are. You always Vesak Day hear them chant, Dhammapada verse. But you never get to understand the meaning. So when you understand that, then what is Dhammapada verse 23? Oh no, 22 first. 22 first. I give you a hint. The wise one intend on what? Because distinctly understanding the difference between heedfulness and heedlessness, the wise intend on? You will also know how to intend, whether to be heedful or to be heedless. The wise intend on what? Heedfulness. So when you distinctly understand the difference between heedfulness and heedlessness, and you see the danger of heedlessness where you are as if dead, if you are the wise one, you will intend on heedfulness, correct or not? Then, what will happen to you? You will rejoice in the... You will rejoice in the rhyme of what? The Aryas, the enlightened one. Please, you want to understand them, go back and reflect, contemplate, and make it very clear. Otherwise, you cannot penetrate the Dhamma, I can tell you. It's very difficult for you to develop the understanding. If this very important understanding of heedfulness also you don't understand, then how are you going to meditate to develop heedfulness? Nobody teach you to cultivate heedfulness. They only teach you how to meditate. That's all. Teach me how to meditate. You become gullible. That's all. Then you note this, note that, and do all those thought-based meditation. Different people got different understanding. So they may understand it differently. To them, that is meditation. So be it. But what I'm trying to share with you is based on what I understand, based on what the Buddha really spoke. And you go and investigate yourself and find out yourself whether what I say has meaning or not, can allow you to develop the understanding and penetrate the teaching or not. Then what they teach you, you go and do for umpteen years, you see what happened. You will continue to do. Then they say one day you will become enlightened. You wait for that one day. It can be very, very long. Doesn't mean that there is nobody else who know. There are people who know, but they did it because they are past, understand? Then when they did it, they understand, but they cannot explain so clearly, because to explain it so clearly, you need to have special parami from the past. Not everybody has that gift to share and to develop the understanding. Yeah. So, Dhammapada verse 21, 22 already so beautiful. Then Dhammapada verse 23 is actually explaining to you what heedfulness is all about. And it confirmed to you that heedfulness will lead to the enlightenment in the here and the now. So, the Buddha under Dhammapada verse 23, he said, the constantly meditative and the ever mindful. Constantly meditative is what? Constantly cultivating Noble Eightfold Path, correct? Then ever mindful. That's why these two you combine. The constantly meditative or ever mindful to cultivate the Noble Eightfold Path, and you hold on to this practice steadfastly, the Buddha said, you will realize the bond-free Nibbana. He guarantees you enlightenment in the here and now. So the constantly meditative, ever mindful, and the steadfast one means you hold on steadfastly to these two cultivation, nothing else, means develop heedfulness. You will realize the bond-free Nibbana. He guarantees you. Yeah. So this is very clear. Dhammapada verse 23. Yeah. Define what heedfulness is. Then when you know what heedfulness is, you go to retreat to do what? You have to stabilize this, isn't it? Correct? Yeah? Stabilize your mindfulness until it's ever mindful. Understand? That's why I told you in a retreat condition, it's a condition state. You are very peaceful because it's very conducive. That's why you can be like ever mindful. But what they do is a condition state because they slow everything down. Action, everything. But when you come out into your daily life, life cannot be that way, understand? Life cannot be everything also so slow, understand? Like slow motion. You cannot live life, understand? So what the Buddha meant is, you have to be ever mindful throughout the day in the midst of life. Means at the normal speed of life, when you have to do your daily chores, your daily duty, even working environment, attending to whatever thing. Even as a sportsman, you have to play sport vigorously at very high speed. And you can be mindful, the Buddha said. Mindfulness is not about speed. Mindfulness is about how silent and quiet your mind is. Understand? So this is a very important understanding. So when you train your mind using object of meditation, then you train. Then you have to develop it until it's very stable. Means what? Means the object of meditation is very stable. Like Anapanasati or rising falling is always with you most of the time. You are just aware. Then you don't use thought. That's why it can, like, on its own, automatically, like, sustain. If you use thought, it's like, you know what is it or not? Every time you have to be aware, you have to note. Then you got nothing to do, note only. Then you verbalize a lot. But when you're just aware, the awareness just pick it up, then it becomes very natural. Then it just sustains itself because that mindfulness will allow it to be, sustain itself. Then everything you do in a retreat, it becomes like a routine. Then everything like very graceful. Then you move, you eat. Every action, every movement is in present moment awareness. Then you realize your mind becomes so quiet, so peaceful, so still. On its own, not through a concentration, not through forcing it into absorption, naturally aware on its own. Then when you are able to do that, then you see the big difference before you come into the retreat and now after you have trained your mind. You have shifted from the heedless living into the state of heedful living. When you are heedful, you hardly any thought, little or no thought. You only once in a while perceive something, aware, move. Then your body and mind always one, or your body and your breath always one. or when it comes out externally, the awareness and the phenomena is one. That's why you can see all this movement. So when you have this heedfulness, then you will see the big difference. And you will never go back to the heedless way of living. That's why you will determine through your faith, sadhana, virya, to develop this mindfulness and carry it into your daily life. Then when you are able to do that, your meditation becomes very different. Because if in the midst of life, you can also be in the meditative state of heedfulness, like when you are in the retreat at the normal pace of life, your meditation becomes very different. That's why after that I told you, no need object of meditation. You just sit, it is silent already. But the mind is trained. You want it to be silent, it's silent. You want it to do whatever, it will listen to you. Because it is trained. Whereas the untrained mind is heedless, think a lot, have a lot of hindrance. Restlessness especially, sensual desire, ill will, non-stop. Then doubt, then sometimes sleepy, sloth and torpor. They keep on coming. Whereas the one that has the spiritual faculty is very heedful, fully aware, very different mind state. That's why I say when you understand, you will know how to go to retreat with a clear purpose to train, stabilize it, then determine to carry it on in daily life. Then at the retreat, don't slow down everything. Don't slow down your action, slow down your thought, so that you are with the moment. Then you will understand the teaching very clearly. So this is basically what you have to do. Then after this one is done, the real meditation only begins. After you have trained your mind to be ever mindful, then only you move into daily mindfulness. This Noble Eightfold Path is Sati Sampajana, daily mindfulness. You do in the midst of life. That's why I always tell the Kayanamita, not until you have developed and trained this mind until it's ever mindful and move into the daily mindfulness, sati sampajana, mindfulness and clear comprehension in daily life, the real meditation has not begun. This is the real meditation in daily life. Daily life. Careful, honor. Then you have to understand what constitutes Noble Eightfold Path. What is right view? The three types of right view. What are the three types of right view? If you don't even know what they are, how are you going to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path? The first right view is what? Law of karma. Every day you have to contemplate and reflect. You are born of your karma, head of your karma, conditioned and supported by your karma. You are what you are because of your karma. That's why karma is so important. And that is the first spiritual law. Karma niyama. Understand not? So because of that, the teaching of the Buddha comes about because of that first right view. If karma plays such a great role in your life, you are born of it, head to it, conditioned, supported by it, and you are what you are, that form of mind, every moment, every instant, because of your karma, you somehow don't want to take care of karma. Then you see what happens to you. Understand? That's why the Buddha's teaching and advice come from that right view. Because he knew the importance of law of karma. Then he said, you reap what you sow. Do good begets good, do evil begets evil. That's why he said, to take care of karma, what must you do? You must train your mind to be ever mindful to see your mental intention, isn't it? So that your action, speech and thought process are in line. So that you don't violate the precept. So to avoid all evil is to keep the precepts. Understand? Because with the precept, you don't violate the nature's law. The evil roots are not there. Those who break the precept, you go and check. The evil roots are all there. Your first precept. Panatipata viramani sikapadang samadhiyami. What does it mean? You normally tell me abstain from killing. That's what you know. You go and find out the real meaning. You ask Brother T to explain to you. Panatipata. That one is the, for all the precepts is a different word. But at the end, viramana sikapadang samadhiyami is the same. Every precept you must do that. What is that? What is the meaning of that? Viramani Sikapada Samadhi Yami. I undertake the training rule. You forgot that one, understand? To abstain from killing and causing harm to fellow beings. Then the second precept, I undertake the training rule to abstain from stealing or taking things that is, does not belong. That common verse, Viramani Sikapada Samadhi Yami, is very important. I undertake the training rule, no? Means I determine to train myself not to violate and break this precept, no? How you train? That's why you train your mind to be ever mindful. Otherwise, how can you cope with the precept? Understand, no? Throughout the day, you are heedless, hardly mindful. How can you see your mental intention? That's why get angry on it, no? You shouldn't get angry. Then do some mistake on it. This is greed. This is selfishness. I shouldn't have done that. And someone tell people, I can see my anger. Actually, thought seeing thought. If after anger arise already, then the thought say, I see my anger. Who see your anger? The thought say, I see your anger. When anger arise, you are be with it. At that moment, with your silent mind, there is no word on us. That mindfulness, the sati, silent, be with it. Then you see how this thing arises, and you will understand what that thing is, that emotion, without words. That is the real. You are aware of anger. That's how. Means the awareness and the emotion is one together. That's why you understand how it arises, the unreason hindrance, and how it is. That's why the real meditation is completely different from what you think. Thought-based labor a lot, and hasala. Oh, I saw my anger. I saw my greed. Who see? The thought see. And I said, but you're never with it. It's after it happened. Before it arises. If you are silent, you will be with it. How your mind stir, how it conditions you to be emotional, fearful. You are with it. Then that. That is the real satipatthana. Not the thought that tell you all those things, or even note and label and do all this funny thing, and you call that meditation, and you have to go ahead and find out yourself, what are you doing? Understand not? So you have to be ever mindful to see your mental intention. Then you have to understand the essential Dhamma, what constitutes evil. Why the Buddha said the three evil roots are root of all evil, greed, hatred, and delusion. And what are they? Greed, the meaning is very wide. That's why it's a very big topic, I tell you. You have to go into all this. Otherwise, it's not what you think. Oh, see, vipassana, after that, enlightened already. Not what you think. That one is knowledge, the thought tell you. Then you can do is find out, see what happened. Then you have a lot of knowledge. The real understanding is very different. You need to develop clear understanding of the essential Dhamma. That's why you have to contemplate, reflect, understand. Then only you know how to do. If you don't even understand what constitutes evil, even you have mindfulness, ever mindful, you cannot deal with the precept. You don't know what is evil. You don't know greed includes selfishness, desire, craving, covetousness. Even your light is part of greed. Understand? The subtle craving, like yesterday, even your meditation, remember? The aversion towards that pain, that is really negative craving, negative greed, aversion. Then the subtle craving or desire to want the good meditation repeated, that itself is craving, that itself is greed, and that itself is an evil root. That's why it's a hindrance. Sensual desire, you will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state. So that craving will prevent you. That desire is a sensual desire, is a hindrance. That's why you have to develop the mind until it's so sensitive, so clear inside, that it can understand all this. Then your meditation becomes very different. Okay? Can follow, huh? So, I will have to wrap it up already. Huh? So, all this, the essential thing to understand is what is sati. Huh? Awareness before the knowing. Before the words, before the concept. Yeah? The moment you are silent, you are already aware. That is the other understanding. The moment you are not silent, you are lost in thought. How can you be aware? True or not? When you are lost in thought, you are preoccupied with what the thought tells you. So how can you be aware of what is going on? How can you see things as they are? You are lost in thought, heedless, understand? That's why the real meditation is silent. Don't do anything. Then you can understand a lot of things. And the real silence is without chattering inside. Not only don't talk, no mental chattering, no verbalization, nothing. And that is the real silence. That is the noble silence. If you put your hand in front, it's don't talk, keep quiet. That is the noble silence. You're inside, no sound but chattering, verbalizing, doing a lot of mental things. And that type of mind is not silent. So the true silent mind is very important. So this one is actually also equals to silent mind. Okay. When you understand what heedfulness is and what sati is, then it's very easy to develop the meditation. Then the rest essential dhamma, you can just slowly develop them through your 5 daily contemplation, 3 turning of the 4 noble truth, your constant reflection and contemplation, especially the second turning. Okay, now I have to go to the meditation question that Brother Gan sent to me. Maybe do a quick one. So Brother Gan has given me some short question. Why do we meditate? So this one, I have explained it. Why do you meditate? You meditate to develop wisdom and understanding so that you can understand the Buddha's teaching and liberate your mind, free your mind, realize enlightenment in the here and the now, so that you need not suffer anymore. Okay? So that one is straightforward. Then, the helpfulness of relaxation and metta meditation. This one I already explained. Mind sweeping method combined with loving kindness metta is very important. You have to relax into every state of mind. That's why the first support is relax. When you relax, you don't stress out. Then you are at peace. You are not agitated. You are not restless because you know how to relax into that mental state. So relaxation is key. Then metta will bring about inner well-being. Then the mind sweeping metta, where you feel, then you relax, you don't think. It will decondition your heedless thinking and it will bring about inner peace very quickly. So the importance of having this skillful means, mind sweeping metta combined with metta, is very useful. So that the first two benefits of meditation, inner peace and inner well-being, can be developed straight away. Okay, can follow. If you cannot follow so fast, never mind, we are recorded. Go and listen to the recording again. A lot of those Kayanamita who progress very fast are the ones who constantly listen to my talk again and again. There was one lady on one of her trips to China while traveling on the bus and the train, everything. She kept on listening for that full 10 days. After that, she became so different. There was so much joy, excitement, and determination to cultivate. Where everything becomes so meaningful. And she came out of depression. 15 years of severe depression, she just come out like that. And there was so much joy. Because everything that is shared, become very meaningful to her. Where she went through depression, all about suffering, she said, she can understand it clearly, very clearly. You are a person who went through depression, has a lot of suffering and misery. And the mind state, how it caught in those through delusion and ignorance, she understood it inside out. Then when I say, your life, you hold the key to your own life destiny. You have a choice to be happy or to be miserable. It's entirely your choice. Why can't you choose wisely? No. Then the other thing that I end on is only your thought. How come it has such power over you? He straight away wake up. Then he say, I told her, you just have to open up your heart. follow the advice of the Buddha, do good, develop more wholesomeness, have more gratitude, have more joy, have more wholesomeness. And this will completely transform you. Then keep your precept. Then when you have wholesomeness, virtue, and all this gratitude, contentment, everything, your mind not only open up, you become beautiful. And your mind state become beautiful. So all the negativity that you used to go through, your sadness, your sorrow, your lamentation, your envy, your jealousy, slowly, slowly you root it out. Because when you cultivate the direct opposite, when you have love and metta, you cannot be angry, right? When you have gratitude, you cannot be very selfish, right? You think for others. You appreciate what others have done for you. Then you won't get envy, jealousy, anger, and all those things. All these negative mind state will just dissolve when you have goodness and hope. And she just reversed like that. And she developed a lot of joy. And she interested in helping people. Interested in having a lot of gratitude and contentment. Yeah. And he always say after she recovered, he told me, those depressed people must ask them to go out and do something. Help people, open up their heart, have joy. Oh, and she's so different now. And now her heart transformed until she can be whole day mindful and hardly any thought. And now she go retreat. Last time she go retreat, she very fast want to go back on. Oh, cannot stay on because the mind state is still not fully recovered. Because that depression still come in, off and on, off and on. The first retreat was very bad. But under me, when I around, she okay. She managed to endure. But the next one, under another monk, third day she left. Then later on, she starts to develop the understanding. Then after the second retreat, the third retreat onward, she's okay. Then the last retreat, she said, there is so much joy, she don't want to go back. He said, a bit too fast. And it becomes so different. No? There's so much joy in her. And she doesn't know Dhamma. 3 years ago when she come, deep in depression, severe, very, very severe. He just came out of it and became so beautiful. Then can meditate, can understand. Now she keep on having joy and laughter. And the best thing is that her life changed tremendously. Business-wise, relationship-wise, everything like go her way. She don't believe it. Even Chinese New Year, everything fall into place. Like everything in Cantonese, very soon. So this is what Dhamma is all about. When you understand, it can really transform a living being. Not only your character, but your personality and your understanding. It makes you a lot wiser, and you are so different. Then you develop a lot of joy and happiness in life. You're no more moody, sad, and like before. Full of sorrow and lamentation, fear, worry, anxiety, all those, no more. It just rooted out like that. And she seldom go for formal meditation. She only do daily mindfulness. Then only recently, after her daily mindfulness was stable, I asked her to do lying down, the formal meditation. And she liked it. She loved it. And they can even meditate while going to bed. And when they travel, they just silent, relax. They meditate on the plane, on the bus, on the train, anywhere. That's why meditation can be done. And these are not like very intelligent or smart people. They are people who went through suffering, but they are very sincere. They have faith. And one thing, they have faith. When they have faith, they listen attentively. Then they develop understanding. Then they just straighten their view. They just change the way they live life. And they can just transform like that. I didn't do anything. I only share the understanding. And all this can happen to you because so many of them have actually transformed and benefited. It is not something that only my form and mind can do or my nature can do. Now, especially last year, a lot moved. This year, a lot more is going to move and even at a very much faster speed. Okay, we go on. This one, you don't own it, it disappears very fast. I have to go back and retrieve it. Okay. So we finished two. I do one more, I think. After that, we can stop. Then you can have your Q&A. The third one is, he said, just be aware. Now he learned. Just be aware. Means what? Don't think. Silence. That's what awareness is all about. Just be aware before the knowing. Silent. But you cannot live like that. If you live like that, you're driving, you just be aware. I tell you, accident everywhere. You have to be attentive. You have to use your thought. But be aware of the movement. Just don't go and think while you drive. When you drive, you drive. Be very attentive, aware. Of course, you also have to perceive. Then you have to know what you are doing. Because you haven't developed the skill, the training. It's only when you have stabilized it that you can be mindful while driving. Yeah. That's why at the retreat I explained, you listen to the MP3. Don't get it from Suyan and Kim. Go and listen. How you do your daily mindfulness, start from your home activity when you are in charge, when there is very little external disturbance or influence. Your senses, when you are in the midst of life, they are all very active. Understand? Means they are active. Actively coping life. Your mind is so fast. Understand? All your senses are making contact. And upon contact, every sense organ arises consciousness. And you very fast, because of your habitual tendency and your heedlessness, you input content. Then your views and opinion, especially your wrong view and your habitual tendency, condition you to act, stir, like and dislike, pleasant, unpleasant. That's why your sensual desire, you will very, very powerful until they become habitual. And throughout the day, if all these are moving so fast and you are not mindful or heedful, how can you cope with life? You think a lot and you worry a lot. That's why you keep on thinking, planning and worrying about life so much so you can never live life, because you are hardly aware. You are not heedful at all. So that's why the heedless are as if dead. You may be conscious of life living, but that to the Buddha is spiritually you are dead, because this is heedless living. This is not heedful living. This is what the heedless do. That's why there is no possibility of spiritual understanding. When you are heedless, there is no mindfulness. When there is no mindfulness, there is no heedfulness. That's why you cannot understand life. You cannot cope with life. You cannot deal with life. You cannot understand the essential Dhamma of the Buddha. You cannot even cultivate. If you cannot understand, how can you cultivate? And if you don't have heedfulness, how to start? Without sati, the first factor of enlightenment, gone, not there. And without sati, you cannot investigate Dhamma, understand? Second factor of enlightenment. And you cannot investigate Dhamma, you cannot put the teaching to test. You cannot do anything. That's why there is practically no way you can actually break free. Okay, I think we stop here. It's almost 10 o'clock. If you got any question, you can ask. So I thank you for your patience. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Anybody got any question? You can ask. Where is the mic? Somebody holding it. Anybody want to ask anything? At the back. Pass to our brother at the back.
Brother David, it's not a question actually. It's just I'm just wondering. You were saying that you have MP3. I'm very interested to have some of it so that I can listen and learn from it.
There's only one 16 gig. You get it from Brother Suyan when he complete them, because every MP3, 1 hour to download. So you have to give him time. We give preference to only those yogi who attended the retreat. After that, got any surplus, we see how it goes. Otherwise, you have to borrow from them to go and download yourself. Buy one MP3 is quite cheap, about $20. It's 16 gig. Buy a 16 gig one. Otherwise, not enough. Then all the talks are there. All the what they call meditation retreat recordings are there. All the past 3 years of meditation retreat recording. You want to learn about meditation, it's this year. This year one, there is the most instruction on how to do it. The first 2 years is learning, more Dhamma based. Then meditation also got, but the emphasis is not much. We at that time, people are not ready. I realized they need more understanding of the essential Dhamma in order to develop the understanding to do it. This year is very different. This year when we were there, those who has been with me for quite a while, they are ready for deeper understanding. That's why we talk about the cultivation, the practice, and we go deeper into a lot of all those essential Dhamma understanding. Of course, the new people have to bear with us. You have to learn at your own pace, and you have to catch up on your own. You have to listen, read up. That's why the books, the transcript, they are all there. It saves you a lot of time. And you don't have to remember them. But you make sure you can read. Like Dhammapada verse 21, 22, 23, they are all there. 183, even the advice of the Buddha. And many of the essential Dhamma, they are all there. You have to develop the understanding. Have you got this Heart Sutta, the short notes? Yeah, you can come, I give you this one. Yeah. Then I can give you these three. These three books are very good. Yeah, wait, one more. You go back and slowly try to digest it. If you cannot, no problem. If you cannot understand, you can come to the Thursday class and ask. No problem. But for the month of May, I will be away. Okay. Anybody got any question? Whatever that you want to understand, you can ask. Not necessarily this topic. Related to the teaching, meditation, you can ask. Susan, got a question? Everybody waiting for you. you can actually report meditation very well. Push it all the way out.
While listening to your
sharing,
teachings and the understanding is there.
Very good.
I don't know in what depth, but
it's okay because the first step is to understand first. Then there is a lot of joy. Mm-hmm. Then from there you reflect, contemplate. Then make it stable, make it clear. The only way to test whether you really have the understanding is close the book. Don't look at the book. After you have reflected, contemplated, and read through, then take out a piece of paper and then write it down. What is tea? What is heat for? You can write it down without referring to the text, means you understand. But don't try to memorize. You can try to recall a bit initially. Then later on, as you become more and more clear, you no need to remember what I tell you. I have been sharing for the last 10 years. I never put it in memory. I tell you. Because this thing is automatic. When you understand, it's like that one. The Dhamma is like that one. No need to remember. It's not from memory. It's from the understanding. That's why wisdom is like that. You have means you have. You don't have means you don't have. You put on memory, no use on it. Memory is knowledge. That's not it. Memory is knowledge, whereas understanding is not a knowledge. Understanding is when you understand, it's always there, cannot disappear, unless this form of mind no more. When this form of mind, when it's connected to that true mind, that true nature through the direct seeing, when it awakens, this form of mind that is connected, understand. That's why you can say the form of mind is enlightened. But this form of mind is not you. That's why you don't become deluded. there is no one inside there. That's why nobody inside there to become anything. There is no becoming. It's all for my mind connected to that nature, because this is a karmically conditioned for my mind for you to come to this civilization, this world, this universe, to live, to do what you want to do, to fulfill your vow and whatever duty that you have. And this is what the form of mind is all about, karmically conditioned for you to use. It's like a vehicle and a tool, and it's condition arising, causal phenomenon, not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why you cannot hold on to it, it will disperse. When condition cease to be, it will cease to be. Then there is he know you, he know me as well. Then in future, if you choose to come, you need another form of mind. And therefore, my mind need to connect again, then develop the understanding again. Just like Sakyamuni, before he became enlightened underneath the Bodhi tree, he has to develop the wisdom through the cultivation. But that form of mind, before it's connected, before he inherit the spiritual understanding and perfection, still got ignorant. That's why he still spent 6 years learning under different teacher. He went through everything, self-mortification and all the training, and yet he couldn't liberate the mind. Until that fateful night, after he took the monk rice from Sujata, he made that firm determination. Then all the conditions fall into place. Then that night when he meditated, he connected. And straight away he developed the understanding. That's why he that form of mind after that become the Sammasambuddha. So that one is not him, Manasa. That's why he always used the word the Tathagata. And Ananda always repeat, thus have I heard. The word thus is very important. Evang me sukang. So the Buddha, he knew that this one is not him. But this one is the form of mind. He called it the, what they call Nimanakaya, the functional body, karmically conditioned out for him to use to perform the function of the Sammasambuddha at that time. And that's why it's a functional body. Then he got a spiritual perfection, spiritual body, Sambugaya Kaya. That's why Nimanakaya and Sambugaya Kaya come and combine, then he became a Sammasambuddha. Then he teach the Dhamma. And then that whole entity become the third body of the Buddha, Dhammakaya. Yeah. The body that has the Dhamma, that can teach the Dhamma. So these are the three bodies of the Buddha when they come. The first one, Nimanakaya, is like our form of mind, perform the function of a human being, this life. This life mind, this Nimanakaya, is this form and this consciousness inside. And you call it Brother Theo, but this one is not me. This is just karmically conditioned out. Nimanakaya that come with karmic conditioning for this nature to use, to live life, to develop the meditation, the understanding of life, and to connect, and to experience all of the beauties and wonders of life. But if you are so deluded, you don't understand what is the purpose of this and what is this for, then you use it wrongly. Like your mind, you use it wrongly. Instead of arising right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood based on your right view, you go and create wrong view, and create wrong thought, wrong speech, wrong action. Then you become miserable. Then you also hit out at others and make others miserable. Then your karmic nature forms. Then in future, this form of mind has to come back. And you will have to go through all the suffering. You have to repay all this karmic debt. So the way you understand who you are, what you are, is very important. Read the Green Book. Then you will know how to use that form of mind properly. You use it following Noble Eightfold Path, no negativity, with right view. Arise the right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. Then you are beautiful. Yeah. So these are all the understanding that is possible when you develop this meditation. Then you understand clearly inside Who are you? What are you? What is this form and mind all about? The five aggregate of form and mind, Nama Rupa, that the Buddha talked about. Then what is that true nature, that true mind? All this you can understand. Then what is this so-called mundane mind, condition arising mind, causal phenomena? That's why the Buddha said, mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, everything comes to be. Why? Inquire, contemplate. Then only you can develop the understanding. Otherwise, you are dead, I tell you. Every word he says is so beautiful and so meaningful. And you don't reflect and contemplate, you can never penetrate his dhamma. Okay, I think getting late. You don't have any questions, shall we end? Yeah. you got questions.
Can I?
You haven't finished, can? Well,
I'm in the process of training.
Yeah. No problem.
The touching on daily mindfulness.
Yes.
Yeah. There are moments.
Yeah.
In our daily life, where I find that I have to slow down to be able to be more aware.
That is what you believe now. That's what you believe now. So what is your question?
Is it possible?
No. Nothing right or wrong. Right and wrong is relative. Understand not? Right according to you. If you believe at this moment, you have to slow down to be more mindful because that is what you experience. Understand not? But if you speak to somebody who have understood, then he will tell you, don't have to be like that. Understand not? Just like the Buddha. Before he realized, he also thought everybody has to strive on. Means go through self-mortification, torture the body and all those things. And he has done the most austere meditation, but it doesn't bring him anywhere. That's why he decided to eat again. Then the five ascetic left him, understand? That's why he found out for himself. He investigated into it. Then he recalled when he was young, only a few years old, I think, the harvesting festival, where he was having good food, good body. Then he, as a boy, a lot of joy. Then he went into the first jhana, and he was in that mind state, so beautiful, observing all those harvesting, everything, without thought, just aware. Well, when you are in the first jhana, you must remember, he has not entered apana samadhi. It's only vitaka, vichara, then piti, sukha, ekagata. All these are there, but not strong. Because it's still got applied thought, sustained thought. That's why it's thought, still thought. It has not attenuated and relinquished applied thought and sustained thought. Vitaka vichara still there. That's why he is just at the threshold. Upachara samadhi. That is the mind that can meditate, that can be aware and understand. That's why he went into that state. He decided to eat again. That's how he penetrated. So daily mindfulness is like that, like I say. You don't have to slow everything down. Why are you not able to be aware? The Buddha already told you, your spiritual faculty are not strong. Like that day, Brother Teo asked me, I think at the retreat. Is it at the retreat? At the retreat, you say your faith one. You asked me at the Thursday class or retreat? Retreat. Because I told him something, I said, your faith, you must develop until very strong. But to him at that time, he thought his faith was very strong. I say, faith strong is not like that. Faith strong means inside. You, after you understood what the Buddha's teaching is all about, how wonderful it is and how great the Buddha is and how wise he is, from deep inside your heart, that nature just arose. That's why that sadha and the virya is right. Then the tears just come out. Then you will determine. And you will make the aspiration from now onward. There is nothing going to stop you. You are going to do it all out because you see the importance of it and your faith is so strong. That is the real faith. So that's why sadha, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya, the five spiritual faculty, the Buddha said, You have to develop until you become unshakable, balas. That's why the 37 factors of enlightenment, these 5 spiritual faculty, they are repeated. The second set is balas, unshakable spiritual faculty. It has to reach that level for you to really move and cultivate. So daily mindfulness is like that. When you understand, the moment you are silent, you are already aware. Because your sati is not stable. And how do you start? At home. You go and listen to the recording at the retreat. I mentioned it many times. Have a religious routine. Then every day do your puja. 20 minutes or what also can. When you wake up, before you sleep, and in between. Then whenever you are free, determine to be aware. That's it. Don't try to know. Means when you're cooking, are you a housewife or are you working? You have double duty, housewife and working. Not working. Oh, that's very easy. Housewife, when you do your daily care, don't think so much. Slow down your thinking. Don't slow down your movement. Just be aware. Like I say, when you want to take something, the hand and the spoon, just scoop. Then when you weigh something, just do that thing. Don't think. Just do. Understand? Make your habitual way of doing things different. That's it. That will slow down your thought already. And then when your thoughts slow down, automatically you become heedful. You will not be heedless anymore. Well, this is training to be mindful, to be aware. Understand? The measurement of awareness is the amount of thought you have. But you cannot stop your thought. Understand? If you try to suppress it and control the restlessness, you become worse. That's why they go into energy field. They go into concentration. They try to suppress the thought. Then they allow the calmness to make them very peaceful. That's why ekagata, one-pointedness or absorption, continuous mindfulness. Then they become very calm through anapanasati or whatever, object of meditation, kasina, everything. Then the mind becomes very calm. But it's a conditioned state. This is not a free mind. This is not the real sati. The real sati is don't do anything, no conditioned state, just aware, daily, just move. When you pay respect, body and mind as one, don't try to know. And when you breathe, just breathe. That's why the Buddha said, breathing in, aware, breathing out, aware. Means feel the nostril there, then when you detect the breath, just follow it. Awareness and the object as one. Then when you see, don't go and focus. The awareness and the movement as one. Then when you sweep, the awareness and your movement as one. Just slow down your thought like that. Slowly, slowly you become more. Then the moment you arise from your bed, first instant to be aware of your posture, whether you are lying down straight, facing upward or sideways or what, aware. Then silence your mind and find out what happened next. How did you go to the washroom? How do you answer nature's call? Are you fully aware? Don't try to labor and all. Standing, intending to walk. Not like that one. The real thing is not like that one. The real thing I can explain to you, you go and find out. The moment you wake up, the first instant when you become conscious, because you cannot be mindful when you are sleeping, you don't have the ability yet. Later on you can. The moment you're aware, your body and mind together as one. Aware means attention on your body, understand? No thought. Then the first thing last night I did is, after I aware, I determined to pay respect triple jam. But because sometimes the bladder full, understand? So the tactile consciousness from the bladder, understand? Condition you to go to the washroom. That's why most of you are heedless. How you come out of the bed, how you turn, how you rush into the toilet, how your hand moves to open the door so you never aware. You just want to sit down and relieve yourself. That is the most urgent. Where got standing there, intending to stay, intending to walk, intending to... Where got such thing? The bladder call, you just go. That's all. But when you are mindful, it's different. Then you tell the thought, enough. You have been conditioning me enough. Now you are my tool. That's all. You listen to me. I use you. I am the master. You are the servant. So thought listen to you, not the other way around. So you tell the thought, if I want to come out, I decide. Then you silent. Then how you actually come out of bed, body and mind as one. Then how you turn, how your blanket, you move as, you're fully aware. then everything becomes very normal at a normal speed, but you're fully aware. There's no thought, just like how you turn. Then like the Buddha said, sitting aware means attention on the body. Then standing aware, attention on the body. Then walking aware, no word on. That's all. Then how you move to the door, how your hand move, you're fully aware. That's all. Then how it turn on the knob, how it push, then how you move to the WC, how you do your whatever, unzipping or whatever, or you do all those answer nature's call, then you set, and how you mindfully answer nature's call. And you have to do it with full awareness. And I tell you, it's so different. So different. There was one Kayaramita, she was laughing when she asked me that question. He said, "Brother, what is there to be aware when I answer nature's call?" He said, "I fart all over and do all those." I said, "Because you don't understand what sati is. That's why you ask me, what is there to do? What is there to be aware of when you answer nature's call? Because you are so heedless. Your thought actually condition you quickly, quickly, quickly." Then the thought say, "Otherwise you wet your pen." Then you rush faster. Then sometimes you become like so kanchong. Why must you do all those things? You can still in control, manage. Even how urgent, when you are mindful, is different. Then you just take your time, you just walk. You need to walk faster, you walk faster. And the body and mind is always one. Then if you learn to develop mindfulness that way, then when you finish, how you feel your body is now released, at ease, and how you have a much better feeling of your whole anatomy, then how you actually stand up and clean yourself and whatever, then you brush your teeth. You really brush your teeth. Means aware of all the movement, action. Most of you are. Before you brush your teeth, you think of office. You think of this appointment, that appointment. Then when you brush your teeth, you still think. You are never with the moment. You are never aware. That's why you say cannot. Must slow everything down. Like you say nothing. Brushing, brushing, brushing. Drinking, drinking, drinking. The real life not like that one. That's not. Eat means eat. That's not. But when you silent, you are mindful. You only need to be silent. You verbalize. How can you be silent? And how can you develop daily mindfulness? You give it a try. Don't believe me. That's not. Then from daily activity, you slowly move it on to your driving. Then later on, even your cooking and other things, your washing, sweeping floor, you can move it to that. Asana. Then how you dry your clothes, like my wife did. How you push the trolley. How you feel the temperature, the heat, the sun, everything. You become very sensitive. Then how you aware of the plant. How there is love towards them. How you just radiate love and all everything. And you have a good mind. Then you understand yourself clearly, your mind state, everything. That's why I say have love and be loved. Have goodness, have kindness, have generosity, have contempt. All these you have to cultivate because these are right thought. You don't even know what are right thought. How can you cultivate right thought? That's why I write it down one by one. Go and listen to the recording, then write it down. Generosity, gratitude, contentment, respect, sincerity. All these are right thought, virtue. And you have to cultivate all this. Understand? Gentleness, pleasantness, wholesomeness, rejoicing. All these are right thought. You don't even know what are they. How can you practice? Every day also being chow chow. Understand? Here also unhappy. There also unhappy. React to everything. Then complain only. Point finger. That is not noble evil path. That is all the evil root arising, all the egoic mind arising, all the hindrance arising, all the habitual tendency arising. And you are not living life. You are being heedless. That's it. Okay? We have to end. I heard the center close at 10:30. Sahadu. So you want to do the sharing of marriage first?
Do the sharing. I think that we would like to express our appreciation to Brother Theo for having come down and spent his time sharing with us his Dharma knowledge. And I believe that through tonight's lesson, there is much understanding. So for those who are inclined into participating in meditation retreats, I'm sure this talk tonight would be very helpful.
So,
I would like to extend to you a token of appreciation, Brother
Joe. Today, belanja di tanah.
Sadu.
Thank you, Sadu. I offer it back to Joe. We should rejoice. Sadu. He very kind, provide transport and spend a dinner. That's why we rejoice.
Sadu.
And now he offer back to your center. So next time you put a bigger one. Sadu. So we do our sharing. We will chant the Pali version. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata ca bhumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva cirang rakantu lokasasana itta vata ca amehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo ibmina punyang kamena mame bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu. Okay, thank you so much. There are some books here. Those who still don't have, you can come and collect. Where is that lady from Shalawan? What's her name already? I forgot. She used to bring along that lady, the old lady. Sister Jean. Then the old lady worked in UH one last night. What's her name?
Sister Jean Wong. The old lady is, I think, Sister Ko.
Sister Ko. I want to give them 2 set. Okay. One each. I pass it to you.
All right.
You pass to them. Then the rest you don't have, you can come.
Brothers and sisters, before you go back, please have yourself do some refreshments outside. Thank you.